I think for the vast majority of Christians, there's somewhat of a disconnect between what they sing about and maybe even what we preach about sometimes and what we live on Monday morning, what we walk out the rest of the week. We struggle sometimes to really live the life that's described in the New Testament. Now, certainly we might can stick to our favorite verses or even our favorite passages, but to really look at the whole of Scripture and the life that we have been called to live in the New Testament, it's amazing. And I think that sometimes we settle for just doing the best we can. That sounds pretty good. I know a lot of the time I kind of justify myself and defend myself with that statement. I'm doing the best I can. But I can assure you of this, that the Christian life that we've been called to is more than just trying harder. Too often, we end up living a life that's not really that much different from the world around us. And this is hard to say, but I think too often believers even end up living a life that's not that much different from those in other religions. And it shouldn't be that way, because ours is a life-changing gospel. And it is not just a religion or a form of religion. It is a life. It is a new life in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ. What an amazing truth that is. And yet we struggle. We see the person with the little Christian fish on their car, and they got their window down and their fist sticking out the window, and they're yelling at somebody. We see Christians fighting and quarreling with one another instead of walking in harmony and unity. And the Bible says this, that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation, totally different. It's like a whole new species of being, a new creation. How different are we from our unsaved neighbors? Are we really that different, or are we just trying a little harder? Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit. Can people really tell that we are Christians because of the way that we live our life? Is our behavior becoming more and more Christ-like? Do we struggle to love one another, much less to love our enemies? Do we struggle to be patient with the faults of others? Is pride too often raise itself up and we want to defend ourselves or even promote ourselves, and we fight and quarrel among ourselves? Do we find ourselves in strife all the time? We know what we should do, but too often we don't do it. And we know the things we shouldn't do, but too often we do it. It's that Romans chapter 7 syndrome where the Apostle Paul talked about that he did the things he didn't want to do, and he doesn't do the things that he knows to do. I tell you, God has something better for us. But we struggle, and then there's the voice of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, who comes along and says, you must not be a real Christian. Maybe this Christianity thing, maybe it's just not cut out for you. And I tell you, we can find ourselves struggling and trying and doing everything we can in our own strength and with human effort. And we're just like, Lord, we sure could use some help down here. I mean, what if the Lord came down and he visited your house today in a physical body? He sat at your dinner table and he sat in your den. And what if he rode in your car with you? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing if the Lord was with us all the time like that, just to help us? I mean, if he was always there. I mean, young people, when you go out on a date, he's sitting there with you, with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Problem solved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're struggling with a coworker at work, and there's this strike going on, and Jesus is standing there, and he says, now let me tell you what you need to do here. I mean, would you listen? Would you do what he said? Yeah. That would be awesome. I mean, we wouldn't struggle anymore to live this Christian life. Having problems with the spouse, and Jesus says, oh, wait a minute, let me tell you. Here's what you need to do. Tell you what to say. Most of the time telling you not to say anything. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, that would be so awesome. I got to tell you, we can't do this life without him. We have to have his help. But he has already made available to us all the help that we will ever need. You see, there's a way for us to have real victory, for us to overcome past failures, for us to put the old ways behind us and really live this new life as a new creation in Christ. Just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, he said this to the disciples in John 14, 16 and 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Four times in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper. Now, another translation may say counselor or comforter, but it's the same thing, that he is there to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, to counsel us, to show us what we need every step of the way. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is always there. We need to know this. The Holy Spirit is not some weird cosmic force. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's God. And he helps us in whatever we're doing. We're never alone because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he would be with us always. You know, Jesus said to the disciples, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then they watch him go up into the clouds. But he wasn't talking about being with them in a physical body. He was talking about in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he tells them very plainly that the one who is with you will be in you. John 14, 16, he said, that he may abide with you forever. He's always with us. In 14, 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You see, he's there to teach us, to help us understand, to show us the way. And you know what? I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, had a lot of ups and downs, but I'm still learning. He's still teaching me. Well, you know what? As long as we're following after the Lord, we should always be learning. And he teaches us all things. We have a teacher. Things we don't understand today. You know what? A lot of times people get frustrated because they want to get it all in a day. You're not going to get it all in a day. It's a learning process, but the Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll teach you what you know, need to know today. And then he brings the things that we've been taught, he brings them to remembrance. See, some of you right now, you know the things that I'm talking about. You know these things, but you need to be reminded of them. And the Holy Spirit does that. There are times when even the things that we know, we're not really living it out. We're not really seeing that fulfilled in our life, but the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance. When we're struggling, he's there to help us. You got anything you need help with? You see, he's there to help us live life, to help us live the life we've been called to be the husband, the father, the wife, the mother that you've been called to be. The Holy Spirit is there to empower you to be the witness, the vessel that God can use to be the Christian, that new creation that you're supposed to be. Now, in John 16 and 7, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Don't you know that for the disciples, when they're standing there listening to Jesus saying, "Hey, it's better for you guys if I leave." Don't you know they didn't believe him? There's no way they just accepted that. In fact, I'm pretty confident that every believer today would say, no, I'd rather have the physical Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus sitting here in my living room. I'd rather have Jesus right here telling me do this, 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 this. I want to see Jesus with flesh on. Jesus said it's better for you. Why? Because in you is better than with you. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of the life of the believer? That every believer, the Holy Spirit, God is inside of you. And Jesus said, that's better. I think a lot of believers today think, man, if I could have just been like the disciples, wow. He's in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit, he said. And to be born of the Spirit, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when you truly believe on him, then you are born of God. John 1:12 says that to as many as received him, he gave the power to be the children of God. I'm just telling you, don't make this real super complicated. If you have truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are born of him. And the Holy Spirit is in your life. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The greater one lives inside of you. I think this is so fantastic. And I think it's a shame that somehow it can just kind of become a so what to a lot of believers. That God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and whatever's in this world, he says, greater is in you, he that is in you. See, the greater one's inside of you. Whatever you're going to face today, whatever you're going to deal with today, whatever life throws at you, there's one who is greater on the inside of you. This is how we can live this life. This is how we can really live the life that's described in the New Testament. It is because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." See, we are a new creation because the Spirit of God is inside of us. We have a new nature. We're a new creation. Now, we all know, we are all well aware of the conflict that there is that old nature, that unregenerate man, and that old nature and that new nature are in conflict with one another. We're all well aware of that battle. We've all experienced it. But I want you to understand this morning that we can't win that battle with human willpower or natural strength. Trying harder will never work. And I think sometimes that even comes across from the pulpit in a lot of churches that as a Christian, you just need to do better. You just need to try a little harder. You just need to, put forth the effort. You just need to... And I want to tell you something. The Jews had done that for thousands of years. They had tried. They gave it their best. How is it that we think we could do better? They added all kinds of rules and traditions to try to help them be good. But none of it worked. They were very, very, very religious. but they still had that old nature ruling their life. You know, a lot of the time we really, you know, we use the word Pharisee as a dirty word. I mean, they're just like the lowest of the low, and certainly they were hypocrites and bigots, but understand this about the Pharisees. I mean, you got to give them this. These guys were super religious. They had rules on top of rules on top of rules, and they were so zealous about keeping their religion. And you see, it doesn't matter how zealous we are about keeping our religion. It can't just be about rules and trying harder and human will. It doesn't work. Let me just tell you a little fairy tale that I think illustrates that really well. And all of us can relate to the fairy tale in some way, I'm sure. So one day, Toad baked some cookies. They were wonderful. He thought, these are the best cookies I've ever made. I got to share them with my friend Frog. And so he goes over to Frog's house. He says, Frog, you got to try these cookies. These are fantastic. Frog takes one bite. He says, wow, this is the best cookie I've ever had. And they sit down and they start stuffing themselves with these cookies. Just eating and eating and eating these cookies. And finally, Frog says, we got to stop eating these cookies, with cookies crumbling out of his mouth. We got to stop eating these cookies. They're going to make us sick. And Toad says, well, just one more. And he grabs one more, and Frog does. And then Frog says, maybe this one will be the last one. And he gets another. And this keeps going on and on until finally Frog says, we got to stop. What we need is willpower. And Toad says, what's that? He says, that's where you try really, really hard. He says, well, how do we do that? Frog says, well, first, let's do this. Let's put all the cookies in a box. They put the cookies all in a big box, and they want more cookies. And Toad says, but we can just open the box. And Frog says, okay, we're going to tie a string around the box. And they tie a string around it. And then Toad says, but we can just untie the box and open the box and eat the cookies. So Frog says, all right. He gets a ladder and he takes the box up and he puts it high up on a shelf. He says, now we have willpower. Toad says, no, we can just get a ladder and get the box down, open the box and eat the cookies. So Frog finally takes all the cookies and he goes outside and he throws them all out on the ground and he says, birds, birds, come and get the cookies. And birds came and they carried all the cookies away. And Frog says to Toad, now we have willpower. And Toad says, you can have all the willpower. I'm going to go home and make a cake. And that's the way it is with willpower. That's the way this struggle is in the flesh, in our old nature, trying to be religious, trying to be good. And here's the answer. God has an answer. It is that we live by the Spirit. That we are that new creation in Christ. That's how we overcome. That's how we can really live this life. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, and they were actually going back to some of the old rules. And Paul is telling them, don't let anybody take away your freedom in Christ. It's not about all those rules and regulations. That's not how you live this life. Religion can't ever truly change a person. Pulling off some bad fruit doesn't really change a person. Try harder, work harder, do better. Leslie had a friend in high school who was trying to stop cursing, and so he put a rubber band around his wrist, and whenever he said a curse word, he would pop himself with the rubber band. But it didn't work. It didn't work at all. She told me about one occasion where he just totally lost it and was literally screaming curse words. It doesn't work. What does work is when we learn to live by the Spirit. And you know, certainly you can change some behavior by trying harder, but you can't change the inside. You can't change the old nature just by trying harder. The problem with that old nature is we're born with it. Right now, we're not having preschool classes, but normally, you could go to the preschool class, and here's these sweet little angels, but guess what? They will bite and kick each other. They are selfish. If you take something that they want, they will cry and throw a fit. And you know what? Nobody has to teach them to act that way. It's in their nature. Now, as we grow up, you know, we change a little bit and it manifests in a different way, hopefully, usually. But it's still there. There's this conflict that we face as a Christian between that old nature and our new nature. And you can't win that conflict by rules. You got to live by the Spirit. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 and begin in verse 13. But Paul is addressing this situation where some of them are wanting to go back and live by rules, and they just end up fighting and arguing about everything. And so he says this to them in Galatians 5:13. He says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Aren't you glad God called you to be free? He doesn't want his people to live in bondage. He doesn't want us to always be under this oppression and struggling and trying so hard and just can't win. He wants us to be free." He says, "But do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature." Now, some translations say the flesh. It's just talking about that old nature. But notice this. You can use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. You can still indulge the sinful nature, even though you are a born-again Christian. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I just want you to see it in the Scripture here. You can still be carnal. You can still indulge the sinful nature, even though you are a born-again Christian. Oh, how well we know it. He says, "Rather serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, how well we know that. We've all seen Christians bite and devour each other. I'm so glad that the Word of God doesn't just tell us what our problem is, but it tells us what the answer is. You know, it always gets on my nerves when people want to talk about problems and they have no answers. I'm like, what's the point? But the Scripture has an answer. He has the solution. It's right here in verse 16. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." How do you overcome that old sinful nature? By living by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Verse 17, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." You see, they are opposed to one another. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out how they can get the old nature and the new nature just to kind of agree. They're not going to agree. You're either going to be led by one or the other. And you know what? That's true whether you're talking about a business decision or you're talking about dating somebody or whatever else you deal with in life. You're going to be led by one or the other. These two are contrary, the one with the other. "So that you do not do what you want, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." In other words, you are free from that old law of sin and death. You've broken that bondage when you're led by the Spirit. Now he goes on into verse 19, and I want to read this next three verses. He says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And by the way, if you don't see your struggle here in these 19 things or so that are listed, well, you just need to understand that this is not an all-inclusive list, that he's given us some examples, but there's a lot of ways that the old nature manifests itself in our life. He says they're obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, well, that sure covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And there's that "and the like." You see, the list just goes on and on. He says, I warn you. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit warns the people of God. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. live by the Spirit. Verse 22, this is what the Spirit produces in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. First of all, I want you to see this, that the Christian who's still dealing with all of those old works of the old nature, that's not a happy person. I'm not going to say they're never happy, but I'm going to tell you that they're not living the life that God has called them to. They're not enjoying the abundant life that Jesus has for them. But when you get to the place where you're being led of the Spirit, you're living by the Spirit, and you're having these things produced in your life, love and joy and peace, I want to tell you, that's a place that we want to be. And you can't get love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, temperance. You don't get those things by trying harder. See, sometimes we teach on the fruit of the Spirit, and we make it sound like, you know what, you need to love more. You need to have more joy. You need to have more peace. So let's all just try a little harder. Let's try a little harder to be self-controlled. We're all just going to try harder. We need more of this, so let's do better. Let's try harder. That's not the way it works. Did you know that an apple tree doesn't try harder to produce apples? The orange tree doesn't struggle to produce oranges? And the Christian that is being led by the Spirit, that's living by the Spirit, doesn't have to strain to have joy? Right. I'm telling you that God has something better than just human willpower and human effort. It is living by the Spirit. Religion just won't do it on its own. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In verse 13, he said, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death those old ways? By the Spirit. That's how. We need to focus on this, being filled with the Spirit. Too often people focus on the negatives. We need to stop doing this. Listen, here's what we need to focus on. Living by the Spirit. Staying full of the Spirit. D.L. Moody illustrated it this way one time. He got a glass and he set it out and he says, how can we get all the air out of this glass? And people had all kinds of weird ideas with suction pumps and all kinds of things. And he didn't say a word. He just got a pitcher of water and filled it until it overflowed. The way you overcome all of those old things of that old nature, it's by being filled with the Spirit. It's by being full of the Spirit of God. That's why he says it very plainly. Verse 16 of Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the sinful nature. We just got to learn to live by the Spirit. And I said learn because you know what? I don't think we can understand it all and get it all. I think in the church in America today, there's so little understanding about this. But you know what? We ought to be learning about it. We ought to be understanding it more and more. We ought to be growing in spiritual maturity, learning day by day what it means to live by the Spirit and not settle or be satisfied with knowing Jesus, but still living too much like the world. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit gives power to the Christian life to be able to do the things that we need to do. We all have weaknesses. We all have our own personality and character to deal with. But the Holy Spirit is able to produce in us something different. And yet most believers just seem to be kind of clueless and unaware of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand this. First, we need to be aware of Him. The Holy Spirit shouldn't be something that we never really talk about, never really think about. No, as a child of God, as a believer, Jesus said He's going to be in you. We ought to be aware of Him every day, all the time. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How can we not be aware of Him? How can I be the temple of the Holy Spirit? We need to receive. We need to hear this word this morning. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. And we need to be aware of that. The second thing we need to do is we need to get our minds on the Spirit. Listen to these two verses, Romans 8, 5 and 6. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." What's your mind set on? You got to have your mind set on the Spirit and what the Spirit desires. Verse 6, he says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." See, the carnal mind is always thinking about the things of this world. It's set on the things of this world, and it's, listen, it is influenced by the senses, by what we see and what we hear and what we feel. And the truth is that's where most believers live. Going by what we see and hear and feel. And that's why we end up being so carnal and living by that old nature. We got to get our minds on the things of the Spirit. Paul said, "Set your mind on things above." You see, when we're tuned in to the old nature and our mind is on the things of the world, then we just react. We just react to life. We just react to other people. But when our mind is on the things of the Spirit, then we respond the way the Spirit wants us to respond. We deal with difficult situations and difficult people the way the Holy Spirit wants us to, because our mind is on the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, 5. Some of you need to write that one down, because I'm telling you, there's such a key here to getting your mind on the things that the Spirit desires. But the carnal mind will always get you going down that road. It'll promise things. It'll promise satisfaction and fulfillment, but it never works out that way. It always brings dissatisfaction and discontent, and it says death. Next, we got to pay attention to His leading. And you know, pay attention. That's what we say to little kids when they're not listening. We say, pay attention. But we need to pay attention. And until we really learn to follow the leading, we just have to be very intentional about it, that we're going to pay attention. Galatians 5, 25, we read it earlier. If we're going to live by the Spirit, we have to keep in step with the Spirit. We got to keep being sensitive to His leading. You know, the Lord is able to speak to us. Jesus said that His sheep know His voice. And I want you to understand, when we're talking about being led of the Spirit, living by the Spirit, I'm not just talking about like that you always hear these voices, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. If you know somebody that's hearing a lot of voices, you know they got problems. But even for the believer, we're not talking about that all the time you hear this voice in your head. No, most of the time the Holy Spirit leads and guides us and shows us what we should do. We call it that still small voice. Sometimes we call it the inward witness. Some people call it intuition, but it's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing where you just know. I didn't hear a voice when I was called into ministry 42 years ago. But there was a moment when in my heart I knew that I could never be fulfilled. I could never be happy doing anything else. I knew that I was called into ministry. It just happened that way. I didn't hear a voice telling me to marry Carmen, but there was a moment when I just knew she was the one. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time, the Holy Spirit leads us that way if we're listening, if we're paying attention. Are we even aware? About 30 years ago, I was driving home on a Wednesday night after the youth service, and it was where 20 merges onto 35, but it was different back then. They hadn't redone it. And as I was going down the service road, I noticed a car coming at a high rate of speed from the other side. And, you know, normally, I'll just put it this way. You know, if you've listened to me preach very long, you've heard me talk about traffic. This old country boy has a real hard time with traffic in DFW, just saying. So one of the things I really miss about being in a small town is the lack of traffic. But my normal mode, you know, that old nature, my normal mode would be like, I'm in my lane, you stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Anybody bear witness to what I'm saying? And but being in a kind of spiritual kind of way right after the service, like we should be all the time, I just felt like I was supposed to stop. And I slowed down, came to a stop. And I watched that car, never slowed down, at a high rate of speed. He went right across my lane and hit a concrete rail on this bridge and took it out and went straight on down to the creek. And I knew that if I had not listened to the Holy Spirit, I would be down at the bottom of that creek. Now, some of you are wondering, well, the good side of that story there, I guess, is in a moment, that drunk guy came walking up out of the creek, and I was glad to see that. But here's what I knew. I knew that if I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, I would have been in trouble that day. And you know what? It might not be a wreck. It might be problems in a relationship. It could be a thousand different things. But if we'll just listen to the Holy Spirit, if we'll just be sensitive to Him and allow Him to lead us. And see, that's the next thing, is we got to yield to Him. See, when that nudge comes, when we feel that inside, we have to listen to that. We have to yield to it and be willing to do what He says. I want to remind you of this verse in Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is the way this life is supposed to be. This isn't just for some spiritual elite. No, the sons, the daughters of God, this is how we live. We are led by the Spirit of God. You see, we just can't do this in our own strength, in our own wisdom. We need Him every day, every moment of every day. We need to be relying on the Holy Spirit, living by the Spirit, allowing Him to take the lead, allowing Him to direct our lives, just trying to stay in step with the Spirit and just walk in with Him. I know this may sound like to some of you, oh, you're talking about some kind of weird life. We're just floating around in the Spirit. I can assure you, if you think you're floating around, you'll find out real quick it ain't happening that way. I'm talking about real life. But I'm talking about where your old nature is no longer in charge and you're allowing the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is in you. You're allowing Him to lead and guide your life. Live by the Spirit. Stand with me. We're going to pray.